Let's go back to John chapter 20. And let's read again there the words of Thomas. In verse 25, the disciples told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Said Thomas. Well, it's 20 years since Donald Rumsfeld, US Secretary of State at the time, said the immortal words, "There are known knowns. There are things we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know." That has got to be one of my favourite quotes of all time. Did you understand it? You did, Carol. Yeah, okay. I guess what he was saying was this, very simply. There are some things you know, and there are some things you don't know. And that may be absolutely obvious in a sense, but that's what I want to think about with you over the next 4 weeks. I want to think about what we know. I want to think about what we know about the world. I want to think what we know about other people. I want to think what we know about ourselves. And I want to think what we know about God. And maybe we won't be doing it in quite the way that you'll expect, but we'll see how it goes anyway, because knowing is very important. And tuning in to where the knowledge is very important. And tuning into the right knowledge is very important, because there's an awful lot of knowledge. There's endless knowledge for us to have. But it's very important that we know which knowledge we need and which knowledge is really important, and that we get that. Jesus tells us that we will be judged by what we do with what we know. So he tells us in Luke chapter 12 that the judgment will be more severe for those who knew their master's will but didn't do it than it will be for those who didn't know their master's will and didn't do it. So knowledge is an important part in your future. What you know and what you do with what you know is very, very important indeed. But we are always playing fast and loose with what we know. For example, there are things we pretend we don't know. Sometimes people pretend they don't know about Jesus, so they don't do anything about him, when they should, because they know that they need to. But they put that away into the back of their minds. And sometimes there are things that we pretend we do know. We all find it hard to admit that we don't know something. You know, like if Richard hides in a cupboard, jumps out on Fiona, and Fiona goes, "Ah!" Then Fiona could say, "Ah, I actually knew you were in the cupboard." Because that's the sort of thing that a man would do. Oh, I knew that all the time. We pretend that we know things we don't, because we want to look good. There are things that we insist on knowing that we don't need to know before we act. And some people are very good at this. That is, I'll get around to that job, but I need to find out about this first. I need to know about this. I need to get this information. Or we use it as an excuse. I don't know about that yet, so I don't need to do anything about it. And it may be very important. So there are things that we should have tried to know that we didn't. And the whole world is guilty of that when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to God himself. Often we just don't try to find out what we need to find out about God and about Jesus. And we spend lots of time finding out about everything else. So knowledge is something we're playing around with all the time. And that's what Thomas is doing here in verse 25. He says, At the moment, I don't know that Jesus is risen. I will know that Jesus is risen when I myself can see him and see the nail marks and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand in his side. But at the moment, I don't know. In other words, Thomas is saying, the only knowledge you can really be sure of is the knowledge you've gained yourself by being an eyewitness. Which, of course, is a piece of nonsense. Because if we did that, then we wouldn't be able to do anything. Because we wouldn't know about anything out there at all. But Thomas makes this a rule at this point in his life. He says, I've got to see it for myself. I've got to see it. I must be an eyewitness. Now, if that rule was true, none of us would be Christians. Because none of us has seen, unless you've had a special vision or something, none of us has seen the risen Lord personally in his glory. So, if we went by Thomas's rule, none of us would be Christians. What Thomas doesn't recognize here is there's a time in the world that you have to trust other people. You have to trust eyewitnesses. And that's the position the Christian faith is in. Because Jesus is not everywhere at all times for everyone to be an eyewitness of. He's only in one place at one time. And it happens to be that place, Israel 2,000 years ago, but I suppose it could have been at other times, at other places. But the fact is, we've got to know when to trust eyewitnesses. And God knows that, and he's given us lots of eyewitnesses. There are lots of eyewitnesses in the New Testament of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's why there are four Gospels, I think, or one of the reasons anyway. Because God wants us to have lots of good eyewitnesses looking at the resurrection of Jesus from all sorts of different angles. We need to know when there are eyewitnesses we can rely on. So that's a skill we all need to have and we need to exercise. We can't live by Thomas's rule. Now think about Thomas's rule in terms of the future and the past and the present. Like the future is what Thomas is looking to. He's saying, at some point in the future, I hope to see Jesus and then I'll believe. But the thing that's wrong with that approach is, none of us knows that we have any future. Because the future isn't there. It's completely a non-event yet until it happens. And meantime, all sorts of unpredictable things can happen that we may not have the future that we anticipate. I mean, there was a whole week before Thomas saw Jesus. A lot could have happened in that week. Thomas might have dropped dead. So we can't put off things into the future that we should be acting on now. And that's one of the ways that Thomas goes wrong as well. He doesn't know when to trust eyewitnesses, and he puts off to the future something that he needs to deal with right now. Is there anyone here like that this morning? And you have been putting off a good thing. A thing that you know that you need to do and you should be doing. You're saying that you're going to do it, but that's the future. And you don't have that future. When you get there, you'll have it, if God gives it to you. But he might not. Something might happen that totally changes your life and all your intentions. But you need to act now on that thing. And maybe that thing is, you need to act on Jesus Christ's call to come to him and receive him as your Lord and your Savior. Don't put off to the future what you know is important now. But then there's the past as well. And the past is a thing that we all know about, because we've lived a bit of it. And because the past is where the eyewitnesses tell us about things that happened. Like the resurrection of Jesus. Or like that Henry VIII had six wives. But he might have had eight. We just don't really know. See, the past back there, and the further back the more our memories fail us, the further back, the more unreliable the testimony becomes. But we need to know, and this is a skill we need to know what's important about the past. And as far as the world's history is concerned, the important thing above all other things is what Thomas is dealing with here. It's the life of Jesus Christ. It's the way that Jesus lived. It's the death that Jesus died for our sins. And it's the resurrection. There's nothing like that in the world's history. Nothing compares to what Jesus is and has done. And we need to know, when we look to the past, what's important. We need to watch that we don't fall for the quiz show illusion. Now, there are quiz shows everywhere today. Everywhere. And our household's quite fond of them, I have to say. Kind of tea time, there's Pointless on, and then there's Richard Osman's House of Games and all the rest of it. And we quite like Mastermind on a Monday night, and not so keen on Only Connect, but University Challenges, you know. And you get people on these shows, and they know so much, don't they? Don't they? No, they don't. They know nothing. They know absolutely just the minutest, tiniest little bit. But the illusion is that they know a lot. But they actually know virtually nothing of what happened in the past in the world. Virtually nothing of world history and the history of, you know, music or the geography of the world or whatever it is. They know virtually nothing. But because they know a little bit more than maybe others, you get the impression that they know a lot. And so it's very easy for human beings to go around thinking we know a lot. Especially if we think we know more than other people. Especially in our specialist areas. If we know a lot about a certain subject, and we can show it off. But this today in this world, what people are doing is they're trying to know a lot. And it's a situation like what Paul describes, where people are ever learning and they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Because they're making all knowledge equal. And it's all about, you know, how much can I know that will help me to do my job, or how much can I know that will help me to win this quiz? And we're delving into all knowledge. And it's endless, of course. And we've just got little minds, so we're never going to learn it all. So we spend our whole lives gathering knowledge and miss the important stuff. And the important stuff is here. It's the life of Jesus. That's the important things. And Thomas realizes that, at least. What's important is what has just happened. It's the resurrection of Jesus. But then there's the present. What about the present? What do we know about the present? Well, we don't know very much about that either. Because we've only got our five senses. And our five senses don't actually take us very far. Like our hearing, so are the kids. We're not actually hearing even the tiniest of anything what's going on in this room. And it goes on like that. Our seeing. Our seeing is just a tiny little band that we call light. But there's masses of stuff on either side of it that we can't see. Like we can't see heat, for example. It's endless. The amount of stuff that we don't know is absolutely massive. We know virtually nothing about the present either. But we want to know. We want to be present. And this is a thing about our modern society that's just, it's getting out of hand. And it's this idea that we want almost to be like God and be everywhere. You know, we want to know, you know, what's happening in Las Vegas. And we want to know what's happening in our next door neighbour's life. And so we've got actually means by which we can do that now. And we can use the social media, we can use the internet, and we can try and be everywhere. But only God is everywhere. And really, you know, we've got to learn as well that a lot of the stuff that makes us try to be everywhere might not even be true. But it's another illusion. The illusion of knowledge, of the present, what's happening, that turns us away from knowing what's really important. And what's really important is here. It's the life of Jesus Christ. Thomas wants to be in the right place. He wants to be present in the right place. But what if you're not? And he wasn't. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the disciples. I guess he probably spent the next week kind of fretting, "I'm going to see Jesus." But he didn't need to. And we don't need to either. We don't need to wait for some great experience or some great revelation from Jesus. We just need to trust those who've seen him. Yeah, because they're very reliable witnesses. Peter and Andrew and James and John. And we know that because they didn't say, "Well, we saw Jesus risen and then we went back to our jobs and forgot about it." We saw Jesus risen and then we went and spent the rest of our lives declaring to the world as far as we could that Jesus has died for our sins and he's risen from the dead. These are witnesses who know what they're talking about, and we can trust them today. We don't need to be present in a certain place to have a certain experience or to gain certain knowledge when it's right here in front of our noses. And we just need to trust and act on what we've got. So the right place to be right now for you, for me, is here. And the right place is where God's put you in your life tomorrow or the next day. There's nothing wrong with where Thomas was when the rest of the disciples saw Jesus. It wasn't like he did anything wrong. What he did wrong was that when he got the chance to learn that Jesus really was risen from his friends, he didn't believe them. He didn't act on the knowledge they gave him. The right place is wherever you are. But wherever you are, you have the knowledge that you need to walk with God through Jesus Christ. And it's just a case of taking that knowledge and actually using it and praying to God for his forgiveness and for his power in your life and just living with him day by day, wherever you are. It doesn't need to be spectacular. And that's another thing, of course. We're all seeing people doing spectacular things all the time. And we all feel we should be doing spectacular things. Well, maybe some of you don't. But you all want to be kind of going and bungee jumping or paragliding or whatever it happens to be. Well, I see someone in the back row there saying, "Nah, it's not for me." But you know what I mean? It's like we're not happy to be where we are. Because it's too humdrum. It's too ordinary. Too boring. And that's just not right. Where you are is in the presence of God. And you take with you, wherever you go in this week ahead, whatever it happens to be, you take with you the knowledge that Jesus is risen from the dead. And that's the important stuff. There's lots of other knowledge you can get. It won't do you any good. At the end of your life, no one's going to get to the end of our lives and say, "You know, I wish I'd memorized the list of the kings of England from 1066 or whatever till the present, the queens of England." No one's going to worry about that. No one's going to wish that they can learn the names of all the Monroes around here or something like that. It just doesn't matter. But what matters is, you know, that when we come to the end of our lives and we know that we actually know very little. Very little indeed. I'm just thinking of my own situation. A year ago this time, I came to realize how little I really knew about what was going on in my life. But the important thing was there. The important thing that I could look up to God and say, "Father, through Jesus Christ." When I was a little boy, I thought I was really smart. Were you little boys and little girls like that? Because the thing was, I read a lot of science, and no one else did. Well, some people did, but not many. And I remember very clearly, I was about 8 years old in Gerloch, and family was all together in one room, having an argument with my Uncle Jim about the stars. I can't remember what the argument was about. But anyway, in my mind, I won the argument. I felt really quite knowledgeable. And that kind of attitude stayed with me through life. Now, my Uncle Jim didn't know much about stars, probably. He was a fishmonger. He had a fish shop in Leith Walk. Just as well, the argument hadn't been about haddock. Or about golf, because he was an avid golfer. Or about cine photography, because he was one of the early kind of pioneers of home video in the days when it was, 15mm film? Something like that. And Uncle Jim actually knew a great deal. But in my mind, he was a great ignoramus. And that's a terrible thing. It has not served me well through my life. Doesn't serve us well to think we know stuff. And that makes us better than other people. Because if we're ignorant about the things that really matter, then all that we know isn't going to help us. And if we know about the things that really matter and do nothing about them, that's not going to help us either. I wish when I was 8 years old I'd been listening a bit more carefully to Jesus. That would have spared me another 10 years before I became a Christian, another 10 years of messing my life up. And I did have people telling me about Jesus. Donnie Kyle, as they call him up in Gerloch, Dorney, was my Sunday school teacher. When we went all to church, we went every Sunday. But he taught me about Jesus, but I wasn't listening. The important stuff passed me by, but I knew all about stars. See, this is the thing. We need to know what's really important. There's endless stuff to know about the world. But there's stuff that really matters above all other things. When you climb the mountain of knowledge arduously and get to the top, the highest point on that mountain is Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Him. So, you know, that's what's important for you and that's what's important for me today. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. So let's not be like Thomas saying, I'm going to leave it to the future, or I'm not sure about the past, or I want to be present somewhere else. It's like, Thomas, your friends have just told you that Jesus has just done what Jesus said he was going to do. Why do you need any more information? And you have been told that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And you've been told that Jesus died for our sins. We don't need more information. We just need to do well with the information we've got and receive Jesus and live our lives in the light of His glory. What does it say in Jeremiah 9? Let him that boasts, boast in this. Remember what it says? God says, let him that boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and justice in the earth, for in these I delight. Let him that boasts, boast that they understand and they know the Lord. Let that be our boast today. You know, we might not win the quiz shows. Doesn't really matter. But what matters is that we know about Jesus and that we use knowing about Him to go on to know him for ourselves. Amen. Let's pray for a second together. Lord, we come before you. We're very weak and our knowledge is very small. But we do thank you that today we know about you. And Lord, help us today not only to know about you, but to come to you in prayer and meet with you so that we can say, well, we don't know very much, but we know Jesus and we know that he loves us. Thank you, Lord.